This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the 1912 Exiles, the podcast for Newport County fans by Newport County fans. I'm hosting tonight, Ian, and I'm joined by Ed. All right, Ed, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm all right. Good. I feel like I've spent a lot more time this evening thinking about Newport County matters than even if I'd been at a football match. So I'm already quite fatigued.
Indeed. Well, we'll try not to fatigue you further, Ed, but it's really important that we have a quick snap verdict tonight, because, you know, this might not be quite as polished as we normally are, but we thought it really important that we try and just get some thoughts down, because it's been a momentous evening. I've been watching on from afar, but you have been in the room, Ed, at a momentous night in Newport County's history. I guess, first of all, how was it?
It was good. I mean, I think the first impression that everyone had there was just how many people were there tonight. So I think there were 460 odd votes cast, not all of them on the night. Some of them have been were being cast by proxies. But of all the meetings we've had so far this year to discuss trust matters, tonight's has been the biggest turnout. And you could feel it in the room that there was a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement, a lot of questions, and a huge amount of interest. So yeah, it was very, very exhilarating in that sense. And I think as the evening went on, you know, even those of us who went in prepared to be a bit skeptical or with doubts, found ourselves nodding and feeling those doubts being assuaged and finding ourselves feeling persuaded. And that was pretty comprehensively shown by the final vote, where it was 455 in favour of selling the Trust's majority stake in the club to former Swansea City chairman Hugh Jenkins.
Excellent. Now, I'm interested, Ed, that's 98%, I think, someone's worked out, isn't it? So that's a, you know, For me, that at least whatever way we're going, that was a really positive, that it was a very, very unanimous decision. But I'm interested in what you're saying there, that you were nodding along as the night went on. I mean, obviously, you know, we've been having lots of chats, you know, off pod about what's been going on and thinking about how we cover this and all the rest of it. We've all had our questions and our doubts and our concerns. So what was it on the night, Ed, that had you starting to nod along and maybe started to maybe assuage any concerns that you did have? Was there a particular moment? Was it a general feeling? What was it?
Well, my feeling, and I think probably that of a lot of County fans going into it, was broadly probably we accepted that because of the situation that we're in financially, because we suddenly found this black hole in the finances and the Trust are not able to quickly and easily fill it, I think many of us accepted that we were likely to have to accept the investment that was there. But I think also a lot of us didn't feel great about the fact that we were in that position, slightly perhaps almost resenting the fact that we've found ourselves very suddenly, very quickly being put in into a position where we're kind of having to rush through some of this stuff when ideally you'd want to have a much longer set of considerations around it. And I think also, you know, I saw someone, I can't remember who it was, tweeting this morning and saying, you know, whatever happens today, it makes me sad that probably by the time I go to bed tonight, our club will no longer be our club. It won't be in the hands of the fans. And I've talked before on the pod about, I feel very passionately in favour of fans owning their football clubs. I think that's how all football clubs should be run. I think football would be better if that was the case. So a lot of it was head versus heart, if you like. And I don't doubt that the board and others were coming at it with the same approach as well. But I wanted to go along and have that feeling that, well, if I'm going to have to go against what my heart wants and do what the head tells me is the right thing to do, I want to at least feel confident in doing that. And I guess that's what happened tonight, is we had two very good presentations. Firstly, from Colin Everett, who, you know, everyone has said how well Colin has done. And I'd like to reiterate it. You know, he is an honest broker. I was joking to Diesel, I think, during one of the breaks that, you know, if Colin Everett told me that a nuclear apocalypse was about to happen, he'd find a way of kind of softening the blow and making you feel that it was all going to be all right. You know, he's very good at reassuring people and bringing them with him. So he did a really good job of explaining the process, the criteria that the board had put in place when evaluating the different bids, and why it was that Hugh Jenkins was felt to be a stronger contender than John Pratt. And, you know,
Can you touch on that a bit, Ed? Because that was one of the things I think a lot of people were, before this vote, they were thinking, well, we should have seen both bids, all that sort of side of things. But it was clear there was some stuff said in the meeting today where they explained, you know, the various criteria and why it was that, I think you were saying it was almost a little bit like a, you know, a job interview, that both candidates met the, you know, were appointable, but one met more of the criteria than the other. Is that a fair comment?
I mean, that was Colin's analogy rather than anything I came up with. I don't have that originality, but it was a really good way of explaining it. And Colin was at pains to say, you know, both bidders came in with strong bids, and he complimented both of them for how they'd gone about things, the level of detail, and explained that the process was that there had to be due diligence on both bidders. And that's why, because of the detail of that, it was felt appropriate that the board recommended one of them, having done that due diligence, so that we as fans weren't trying to kind of do that in an open meeting with 300 people, which I get. And on the basis of the bids that came forward, you know, there was criteria drawn up for what they were looking for. And for me, there were three things on that list that stuck out. Two of them obviously favoured Hugh Jenkins, or perhaps let me rephrase that. Two of them were things that Hugh Jenkins was clearly stronger placed to fulfil. So experience in football and ability to be kind of hands-on in the day-to-day running. You know, the John Pratt bid didn't have that that football experience, and also, you know, because of the Atlantic Ocean being in the way, they would have been less able to be as hands-on as Hugh Jenkins can. The other that I thought was really interesting on there was a vision for the academy and a commitment to the academy, which, you know, again, as a community focused fan owned club, I think all of us would want the academy to be a really core part of what we do. Not just because if you get, you know, a few good academy lads every couple of years, then financially that's really important and it can benefit your first team and it can bring money in transfer fees, but also because actually having a good academy and being the beacon for football in Gwent, which we've talked about in the past, you know, that's an important thing for Newport County to be. So I thought those were interesting criteria, and it helped to explain why Hugh Jenkins was the preferred bidder.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, I think. And I think I'm sure many people who weren't there, that will sort of help to sort of assuage some of the doubts they might have had. I guess before we go on to thinking about, you know, what does the future look like and what's the next 100 days? I mean, obviously, we've invited Mr. Jenkins on the pod, and we open that invite out again, and we'd love to have him on and have more of a detailed chat in due course. We haven't yet got him on, Ed, but you were in the room with him. What were your impressions?
I thought he did very well. There was one question that I don't think he quite nailed, and I'll come on to that in a moment. But I think apart from that, the one thing, I think he did an extremely good job of, he didn't overplay his hand. He didn't make promises. You know, he wasn't writing checks that he can't cash. He was measured, humble, and said a lot of the right things, but without going into too much detail, which I think is a skill, because you don't want to get bogged down in too much detail. You need to set out what it is about you as a person and a bit about your vision. I would have liked to have perhaps heard a little bit more about the vision rather than the stuff about what he's done previously, which is, I think, most of us kind of already know. But having said that, I think it was germane to the point. You know, he started off emphasizing his experience in providing stability and progress, talked about wanting to be involved in a club who represent the right sort of challenge and that being a motivation, and also cited his experience in his knowledge and his contacts as being the things that he'll lean on in those early stages. You know, he was asked about, I think it was by Amberani, about the first 100 days, what would be the priority? And, you know, it wasn't, I want to come in and give the manager £500,000 to go and spend in the transfer window. And, you know, we're going to start laying groundwork on a new stadium or any big picture stuff. It was, you know, come in, speak with the Dragons and Rodney Parade about how there might be better collaborations between them, or better relationships between them. Very sensible. Do some really proper due diligence around the place, and then scope out stuff around training facilities and, you know, the things, the concrete stuff that improves the day-to-day running of the football club. And I thought all of that was very, very sensible. And he also, and I think the thing that impressed me the most in all of his answers was when he was asked about his relationship with the manager. And he, you know, he talked really openly about at Swansea, how you've got to appoint the right person and give them the freedom to do the job. But having said that, then that manager should expect scrutiny in terms of who they sign, how the team plays, making sure there's a really clear strategy across the whole of the club. And I think that's something that really resonates, because we've talked on the pod about, you know, you go from Flynn ball to Robbery ball to Cock ball, and there's no, like, there's no overlaps between that. You know, it's almost like every time the club changes manager, they go, oh, we'll do something completely different from what was there before, because what was there before didn't work. And then it means every 12 months, 2 years, you're having to change the manager, change the players, change the style, change the philosophy. And Hugh Jenkins was adamant that, you know, that's not how you do it. You need to have a strategy and a vision and a philosophy, and then you appoint managers to work within that. And, you know, he did that really successfully at Swansea. And I think that's something that County would do well to learn from. So that was his best answer, I thought.
I think that's really interesting, because that was one of the things that I was picking up on from the meeting from afar, that idea of a proper culture, for want of a better word. I don't want to use the word brand, but, you know, a proper culture running right through the club that would involve, you know, the academy, youth setups. You know, that to me means everyone playing the same way, everyone playing the similar sort of formations, everyone understanding, you know, their roles. And as you say, I don't know quite who sets that and how you set that, but getting that right so that then the manager and coaching appointments help you to deliver that, I think will be really interesting. And that is a positive. I think it's a great thing to say it, but it's a tricky thing to do it, because as we know, and as we've seen from our recent appointments, we have, you know, as you say, Robbery ball played one way. You know, we go young, we get someone who's going to play a certain way. It doesn't quite work. So you go the pendulum swings wildly the other way. So I'm pleased to hear him, you know, saying that that isn't what he would do, because, but obviously, as we know, if the season, you know, is tough, it'll be interesting to see how he handles that and how quickly you can start to, you know, put that sort of strategy and vision in place. He probably, as you say, isn't going to give details away yet, but he must know what he wants in terms of that, mustn't he? He must have thought that through, because you can't start that from day one. You know, you can't start thinking about it from day one. You can start doing it from day one, but you must have actually put some thought into that before you've come into the club, I'm assuming.
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, I think, like you say, there are lessons that County can learn with the Darren Kelly experiment, where that was supposed to be what happened there, where we had a kind of complete vision of how we play throughout the club, and it didn't quite translate. But I think having that leadership from the top and having someone who day to day is making sure that happens is critical. So yeah, that was a high point for me, I think.
Good. And what do you think? I think it was quite an interesting comment that he said, you know, we'll let the manager, you know, do what he wants, but, you know, effectively the manager works for me and I'll be running the club. So that was quite an interesting. How do you think Coughlin's going to take to that?
Well, I guess Coughlin will probably have a more hands-on chairman than he has had. But having said that, Coughlin's got a lot of credit in the bank. I mean, you'd be a complete madman to come in and interfere with what Coughlin has done on the smallest budget in the league. I think what you do is you come in and say, how can I help, rather than this is what you need to do. So I should imagine there will be a process. I should imagine they've already spoken, to be honest, but I'm sure that will be okay. And there was an indication that, you know, there will be funds to strengthen if we need to. And he's Mr. Jenkins was very cognizant of the fact that we've got to have success on the pitch. You know, there's no point us doing all the backroom stuff and getting relegated. Like, we've got to make sure that the team on the pitch is producing. So, I mean, that all sounded very good indeed. I want to talk a little bit about the thing that the one answer that I thought he fluffed.
Let's hear it.
And I'm sure that there is a good answer to it, but I'm not sure he gave it tonight, which was about his leaving of Swansea City. And, you know, if you ask any Swansea fan, they will say he did a great job, you know, brought us up to the Premier League, invested loads of money, got us, you know, embedded in the new ground, new training facilities, everything else. But the manner of his departure wasn't great, and the people he sold to were not ideal. He was asked about that, and he played it with a fairly straight bat, and basically said words to the effect of, well, the trust at Swansea City had 4 months to organise something to take back control of the club, and they did nothing. And then he moved the conversation on. And I felt that was quite a short answer. It lacked detail. And given that for many of us, you know, that was the one, probably the biggest thing that we had concerns about, I was surprised he didn't have a better answer for it and hadn't come prepared with a better answer for it. It didn't sway my vote, I'll put it that way. But I would have liked to have heard a bit more about that. And so if there was one area where I'd like to have a further conversation with him, it'd be to kind of understand that. But equally, I did get the impression that that's something that, you know, there's sensitivity around it from him. Yeah. And you know, it clearly is something that still, you know, he obviously feels bad about. And I can understand that as well. But like I say, one slightly fluffed answer in the whole night, I don't think was bad at all. And clearly it didn't affect the final vote, which was, I think we said on the Twitter feed, it was kind of Mugabe levels of support. Levels, so,
Well, North Korean even.
Yeah.
But I just want to touch on that, on the Swans angle, because it must be quite difficult for him, I guess. You know, he put 20 odd years into the Jacks, didn't he? So, you know, he's going to have a lot of positivity about his time there, but he's probably got some regrets as well, hasn't he, about the way that ended. And, you know, which is possibly why he's looking to get back into the game, you know, because he hopefully loves the game and he loves South Wales and he's looking to do something else with it. But I can imagine him thinking, I don't really want to go over that. Or, you know, I want to look to the future. I want to, you know, learn from what I've done there and see if I can do it again, which I can sort of understand that. Do you know what I mean? Rather than just sort of think, well, I need to crack, you know, I did a good job there. You know, I had, 20 years of, you know, balanced budgets and all the rest of it. I took them up, you know, I did the right things. You know, it didn't end in probably the perfect way you would have liked it. Things often never do they? And it's, you know, you get that sort of unraveling at the end, but now he's moving on. So I can sort of get why he didn't go into too much detail on that. Does that make sense?
And I can, I also think it was significant. He was asked, would the trust have first refusal to buy back the club in the future? I think it was a friend of the pod, Chris O'Brien, who asked that one. And he replied and said, you know, essentially, yes, in principle, that option should be there, as I think was the case in Swansea. So, you know, we can't say we've not been warned that if in 5 years' time he decides, right, I've done my bit, the trust have first refusal, you know, we need to make sure that we're there ready and waiting. And I think there is a challenge for the trust now that, you know, we make sure that we are kind of match fit and ready so that next time the trust needs to have a more involved role perhaps than it will do in the next few years. You know, if we do ever want to get more hands on with running the club, that we've got the money and the expertise there to make that happen, you know. So I think that's a good challenge to have. And of course, in the meantime, you know, the trust is expected to continue contributing financially to the club. This 100 grand a year that's been mentioned, you know, again, Mr. Jenkins said that's not critical in financial terms, but it's essential for him to feel that the trust has an equal stake and for the trust to feel it has an equal stake in the club. So I thought, again, that was the right way of phrasing that. And yeah, he kind of nailed that in terms of it's the money's helpful, but actually it's more about showing that the trust and the fans are actively emotionally invested in things. Yeah.
Was there any talk, and I haven't seen it on any of the feeds or anything, about, you know, I know that he's saying he's going to be hands-on, and I know that obviously the if once all the due diligence goes through, the board will step down. I know there's been talk of having a couple of trust members on the new board, whatever that might look like. Mm. So there might be elections for that, who knows. But did he talk about the sort of any of the sort of off-field structures in terms of what would the management of the club actually look like? That's one of the things I haven't really got my head around. Is he going to have like a CEO or a chief operating officer or commercial director, or does any of that sort of been talked about at all?
I think there's a couple of answers to this. I think partly he wants to come in and I think he will be involved very heavily day to day initially, working out what goes on, asking all the questions, understanding everyone's roles, and identifying, you know, the structure that needs to take place. I think he doesn't want to kind of prejudge that is what I took out of tonight. He wants to come in and get a sense of it and will then think, right, I think he's expecting to invest some money in, you know, whether that's boosting on the commercial side or, is, you know, whether it, we have a CEO or whatever. But, you know, I think he expects to put money in so that we have personnel to do whatever it is that needs doing once he's understood it. I also think he, in answer to one of the questions, he said he hasn't got a whole load of people lining up behind him as part of a consortium to invest. But once he understands what needs doing, there may be other people who he tries to bring in. But I think he wants to come in, roll his sleeves up, get involved in the day-to-day, understand it, and at that point then think, right, what do we need to spend money on and how? What's the best way to get that money in? So I think all of that will follow. And actually, although that's frustrating in some ways because of a lack of detail, I think that's probably the right answer to give in terms of, you know, not spending money on the wrong things. Let's understand it first.
If that's the plan, and I'm sure you're right on that, I don't have any issue with that, because that is what that is the sensible approach, isn't it? You've got to go in and look at what you need to do before you do it. I totally get that. Was there anything mentioned about the sort of county and the community stuff at all?
No, didn't come up. Right. I think it might have been mentioned in one of the pieces that I'd seen published about it on online, but it didn't come up tonight. I mean, in fairness, there's a limited amount of time for questions and, you know, you do end up getting a bit diverted. Then you end up with a few silly, funny questions coming in, you know, asking about Jerry Sherman and, you know, have we thought about buying Spitty Park and all the kind of stuff that gets a giggle. But actually, you kind of go, oh, this is critical time. We need to get better questions in. But it was a good discussion. I came away feeling encouraged and enthused and proud of the fact that everyone has given this a lot of time and attention, and by that I mean the fans turning up and asking stuff, but also the board, who've clearly done their due diligence and their homework, and I think, you know, we can all feel that we've made a sound decision based on, you know, evidence and facts and all the rest of it. You know, this isn't just a kind of, although we've got bounced into, Christ, we need some investment because we've got problems, we haven't taken a leap into the dark. We've made a good, rational decision.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, like you, Ed, you know, I had lots of concerns before the vote and, you know, the whole issue of fan-owned clubs and the politics around that. You know, I probably am very much on a similar line to yourself. But I think if we have to sell, which I think that we have to do, then there is an element here that you've got a credible South Walian person who knows a bit about us, who knows a bit about our culture, I think that's a good thing, you know. As you say, we could be, if you look at some of the owners that are floating about, that's quite, you know, there's some terrifying people out there. I don't think Hugh Jenkins is one of those. I think he's a steady, safe pair of hands. And I think, you know, steady away is how I'm quite happy with that. You know, I'm quite happy with steady away.
Yeah, and
I think, you know, drawing things to a bit of a close in this sort of snap verdict, Ted, did you go away from, you know, have you walked away from Rodney Parade tonight positive, hopeful, nervous?
Yeah, I never walk away from Rodney Parade pissed off very, very often. I did come away encouraged. I mean, I think there's two things. I think in the short term, we've got someone who is going to have a proper kick the tires of what's going on at the club, and I think we'll make it better run, hopefully more profitable, and give us a much more coherent strategy and philosophy. I think that's all good. And then in the long term, I think it's on to us as fans then, because, you know, today we've seen a harsh reminder with what's going on at Scunthorpe of the problem you can have if you get a good owner who sells to an average owner, who sells to a bad owner, who sells to a crook, right? What we've got to make sure is that once Hugh Jenkins has come in, done what he's going to do, improve matters, and then decides, right, that's it, I want to sail off into the distance and retire, that's the point at which the trust need to be match fit, match sharp, ready, have money in the bank, you know, in an ideal world to take back on the running of the club, but perhaps in a more realistic world, at least to make sure that we still have some say in who then takes over next, so that, you know, we are always in a situation where we're going from a good owner to a good owner to a good owner, rather than being at the mercy of fate. So, you know, there's the short term is good, and the long term it's in our hands, but we've got to step up as well and make sure that the trust is still actively run and focused on that kind of long-term ambition.
Yeah, well said, Ed. And I, you know, I'd echo everything about that. And it was very clear with the volume of people who are in the room today, you know, there's an awful lot of skills and knowledge and acumen, I have no doubt, amongst both the wider fan base, but within the trust. So as you say, we've got to work out how we can tap into that, utilize it effectively so it doesn't all fall on the shoulders of two people and burn them out, and get our act together and support Hugh Jenkins' Amber Army as we move forward.
There we go.
Brilliant stuff. And I think, you know, hopefully you've enjoyed our snap verdict tonight. So we will leave it there, but we'll definitely be returning to this in future episodes. We'd love to get Mr. Jenkins on. So if you are listening, Hugh, give us a shout. Come on, we'd love to have a chat with you. We're very nice people. We don't bite. That would be great. And in the meantime, I'm going to trundle my way across to Salford on Saturday to watch the our first step as we climb our way towards the Premiership. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, everybody, stay safe and keep it county.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.